Every year, one-of-a-kind airplanes converge in Oshkosh, just a small part of what makes AirVenture so special. 2023's standout airplane was a 1948 Lockheed C-121A Constellation, or Connie, nicknamed Baton. Come along with the EAA radio crew as we walk through this magical airplane with its flight engineer, Jeff Weitzel.
Welcome aboard the Constellation. We're climbing around in a C-121 Lockheed Constellation built in 1948. It went across the Atlantic and served the Berlin Airlift. After that, it was assigned to General MacArthur and served as his private airplane. Took him across the Pacific, took him all through Korea. The airplane then went to NASA, and it was a communications platform for the Apollo missions. So, lots and lots of history. Step up into the cockpit here.
That's a step down, about another
yes, indeed.
10 inches.
And of course, up here we have the captain's seat on the left, co-pilot's on the right. And you can see they don't have a whole lot of instruments back there. In fact, if you count them, they've got all of 10. I have 40 of them. On the leg over here from Los Angeles, I was a little bored, so I tried to count how many needles, and I lost track after about 140. So, as you can see, the engineer is a busy fellow. I've got my own throttles, mixtures, propeller controls. I do the boost pumps, the fuel pumps, the oil coolers, the carburetor heat, the cowl flaps, generators, and when the airplane had it, the pressurization and air conditioning were all done by the flight engineer. And as you can see, when you sit down in this seat, you're surrounded by stuff. Frankly, I still don't know how I do it. We replaced all the wiring in the airplane. It was more than 8,000 feet of wire. And all of the cables, I don't know how many feet it was, but there was miles of cables that were replaced.
How long were you guys restoring this?
8 years.
Wow. That's actually pretty fast.
Yeah. And you see they did an incredible job. The airplane is new throughout.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Absolutely stunning.
It takes dedicated volunteers putting in thousands of man hours to keep Baton flying. Joe Scheel, an aviation historian, says that the Connie represents more than just a restoration. Some of the best minds in the vintage airplane business were critical in making it happen. The project was led by a specialized crew with years of experience. Jeff has about 60 years experience himself working with vintage airplanes.
I don't know how many thousands of man hours went into this, but it was a lot. So
you had a crew of how many volunteers, 200?
Again, I signed on, not that many. I signed on in January, but I'm familiar with fighter rebuilders who did the work. And I think at one time they probably had 12 or maybe even 15 people working on the airplane at the peaks. But I know they have a core of five people, and really that's not true, seven people that were full-time on it the last couple of years. And it was full-time all day, every day. And you see the results, it's stunning.
That amazes me that your crew is so small. I mean, this is such a complicated airplane.
Yeah. Well, the airlines, this was published. When they were flying the airplane, they budgeted for 4 man hours of labor per hour of engine time.
Okay.
So you got 4 engines, that's 16 man hours per hour of flight time. So if you flew the airplane 10 hours, you got to put whatever that is.
Yeah, that's like 160 hours.
160 hours, and that's every time you flew the airplane, and that's routine maintenance. That's no failures, surprises, engine changes. And, the industry shifted to the jets, quote-unquote, because of fuel economy, and I can tell you that's not true. They shifted to jets because of the maintenance, because the labor was so expensive on these. So.
Yeah, well, if you tell the guy to go change the spark plug, that's going to be 2 days.
Well, not quite that bad.
36 per engine?
But if you're going to change all the spark plugs, I've done it in one night with a crew of 4.
All 4 engines?
Yeah.
Oh, crew of 4.
Yeah, 144 plugs.
That's a lot of spark plugs, man. And I imagine they're relatively easy to get to.
No.
Oh, well, you got big
tools. Special tools.
Oh, yeah. Really? I thought once you pulled the nacelles off, you had it.
Well, just doing that, the cowling on this airplane weighs 440 pounds each.
Wow.
It takes 5 men to get the cowling open.
Baton is currently the only flying Connie in the world. Specific to its restoration, aviation historian Joe Scheel states that Baton is designed to be useful in a business and leisure role similar to a corporate aircraft. Flying the Connie is just as thrilling as one would imagine.
You're taking 18 cylinders in each engine and bringing them to life. They're going to have a little oil in the bottom cylinders, so it's going to smoke a little. So they sort of lope and grope, and when they get themselves cleaned up, then they have this wonderful, smooth sort of wah sound. And it's a bit of artistry to get that to happen.
Yours, we're talking about. Yeah. Because it's your hands on the throttle.
If you don't get it right, you can get the most amazing stack fire or the most amazing backfire you've ever heard. Once in a while, like yesterday in Madison, I had everybody in the restaurant running away. Yeah, we got a little stack fire. So
your hands on the throttle. It's time to go.
Yeah, when you push those throttles up, it's 10,000 horsepower. And if that doesn't make the hair on your arms stand up, it's because you got no hair on your arms. They've actually let me up there a couple times to fly the airplane, and it's heavy on the controls, but it's responsive. But any airplane with this much mass, you have to be thinking out ahead of where the airplane is, because, I mean, a gross weight is 107,000 pounds, and you aim that much mass at something, it better be what you want. If it's not, then you better start aiming elsewhere, and you need to anticipate that it's going to take some effort, you know, to deflect that mass and make it go where you want it to. So it's not so much of a control thing as it is a planning thing. I think it flies a lot nicer than, for instance, a B-24 or a B-25. I think it flies about the same as a DC-7. I've flown those a lot. It's lovely, but it's big, you know, it's a big machine.
Is it difficult to synchronize the engines in flight?
It is difficult. We have a little sync scope on there. If you look at the bottom right side, I'm going to let everybody else crowd up there. Mm-hmm. Bottom right side, there's a little sync scope with three little whirling propellers, and I control the propellers individually with those toggle switches. And you can get them in sync, which means their RPM has matched. Then I come back here and take a picture of our new technology TV screen, which has cameras looking at the engines. And when you snap the picture with your cell phone, it freezes the blades. And I can get the blades in phase.
Wow.
So not only am I just synchronizing the RPM, when I get the blades in phase, you can feel it. The airplane goes, whoa. It's going.
And so there's a change in airspeed then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll pick up a couple knots.
But mainly you calm that low-frequency vibration that goes whoop,
and it's
whoop,
like,
whoop through the plane.
When you get it right, it's like a massage. It's nice.
Every flight on the Constellation is a well-orchestrated symphony. Each crew member has a specific role, and good crew resource management is imperative.
As pilots, we regularly train on CRM, and I see you have a set of controls here for some of the engines and systems as well.
Yes, sir.
Can you talk a little bit about the CRM aspect and how it's broken down to different roles during different portions of flight?
It's been interesting because I'm flying with a experienced and very skilled captain who's been in the airline industry, who's familiar with CRM, but he's not familiar with having a flight engineer. All of his career was in airplanes that had two pilots. So having the third person in the CRM loop is one dynamic that we didn't consider. The other part of it is, as I mentioned, he has very little control up there over the engines. All he basically has is throttles. So everything he wants, he has to enunciate. And I've had to gently assert certain phraseology into our work, because if he uses any colloquialisms that I don't understand, I don't know what he wants. And the joke, of course, is when a captain says, take off power, that means full power. But if you misinterpret it, it would be take the power off. So, yeah, there's been moments where we had to stop and clarify what we're asking for and what the expected response is. So that's been interesting.
How do you train for something like that?
We sat in here for hours going through the checklist and rehearsing and practicing and talking. And we're still, you know, we're learning there's, as things, you know, as you're going down the runway, things happen pretty fast. So now we're modifying the way we do things. So it's been learn as you go. On the topic of CRM, the essence of the flight engineer's job is to assist the captain. And a lot of times I have to anticipate what assistance he needs, and if you're really good at what you're doing, you're already doing it when he asks for it. And it becomes difficult sometimes because I can't see outside. So I think the question was, you know, are there any times when I'm having to interpret and fill in between the lines? And yeah, there are. And it makes for an interesting dynamic, especially the exchange of the throttles. When he's taxiing, he wants the throttles. but there are times when he'll say to me, well, set 900 RPM. So I'll set 900 RPM, but then if he moves the throttles again, does he want me to set it at 900 again, or does he want me to leave it there? And, you know, you have to sort of make sure, you know, you're aware of what he's trying to do, and that way you don't over-anticipate him.
No matter where it flies, the Connie has a unique ability to capture people's attention.
It's a real treat and a real honor, and I'm very, very lucky to be here. I started my career on this Lockheed Constellation panel when I was 17 years old. Not this very airplane, but I remember the first time I sat down at the panel, looking around thinking no mere mortal should have to keep track of this much stuff. And, you know, my career, 40 years in the airline industry, and, you know, to be able to come back all the way around and do it again is a real hoot, real treat. For me, it's the most beautiful airplane ever built. I mean, just look at the lines. There's not a straight line on it. Everywhere it goes, everybody's got a Constellation story. And mine, if I may, the very first time I saw one up close, my dad built a little airport in New Jersey, and I was the kid mowing the grass. My dad had flown Constellations for Eastern before he lost his medical, and I'd heard many romantic tales about what a great airplane it was. So I'm mowing the lawn one day at the airport, and I feel this presence, and I look up over my shoulder, and here's an Eastern Airlines Constellation 20 feet above me, buzzing my dad's airport, and I'm waving at the passengers, and they're waving back, and I watched it arc up into the sky and saw the sun glinting off the wings, then the sun glinting off the propellers, and I thought, God, if I could ever just do that, I'd be totally happy. And here I am.